In a world where extreme competition exists everywhere, what does it take to have success in your career and in life? Join me, Nirvana Chaudhary, as I sit down with some of the most successful individuals to discover the secrets to their success, what continues to drive them, and to hear a few exclusive stories in the process, what drives them and their success code, their mantra for making it bigger. Hello everyone, this is Nirvana Chaudhary. I'm back with my podcast, Making It Bigger. Today I have with me Sakar Puraseni. He's come back from America ages ago. While he's still connected to America teaching as a faculty in some of the biggest top-rated universities there, he's come back to Nepal and he's just making an absolute massive change in the education sector in Nepal. Before I ask him more about his initiative, Karkhana, welcome to the show. I just want to start off my podcast by asking you, what is your success mantra? What is it that really drives you?
For me, it's that my work has to be interesting. If something intrigues me, then I know I'm going to put hours into it. I'm going to redo it. I'm going to refine it. So for me, it's all about what engages me, what interests me, what challenges me.
Okay, tell me the story of Karkhana.
Well, I think the story of Karkhana starts with me being bored. And so I was working as a computer engineer. That's what I studied. And actually, in fifth grade, I started a computer club in my school. And I thought I wanted to be a computer engineer. I did.
This is in America?
No, I studied in Darjeeling. And then I went to the U.S. when I was, for plus two, sort of that age. And after I graduated, I went to Johns Hopkins. After I graduated from there, I worked as a programmer. And I liked it for a few years, but then I got bored out of my mind. And people kept telling me, wait, once you are like at a deputy CIO level, or, wait a little bit, right? Like work gets more interesting when you're more senior. So I waited around a few years until I was working closely enough with the top of the chain that I could see what life would be like if I put in the next couple of years. And then I decided, oh, this isn't for me. And I didn't know what I would do with my life. And partly coming back home was a chance to connect with my parents, but also a chance not to have to pay rent, take a little bit of time.
Which year was this?
I came back in 2011, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. But after I came back, I just began looking around and began to wonder, what is needed here? And my interest drifted towards education, because it really felt like that's the foundation, Like so many of my friends who are entrepreneurs who own large corporations are always complaining, skilled man sa nahi chaina. I'm sure you guys have similar problems across your enterprises. And so that's sort of how my attention drifted towards education. I actually started working with college kids first, and then I realized that's too late. And then I started working with plus two, and then I realized that's too late. And I kept going down the chain until now. I really love working with like third to eighth grade students, because that seems to be the age where you can really get in their heads and shape them and stretch them and all of that.
It's incredible. I think, one of the biggest contributors to economy, as we know, is the money remittance that comes in, right? Almost 28% of our GDP. And, there's a discussion we have within our company as well, that a lot of the youth migrating out, and at peak, just pre-COVID, it was 1,500 youths were leaving the country every day, right? Yeah. We realized that at least 30% of them did not have the skills that they were going to, the job they were going for. Yeah. So we wanted to set up a polytechnic, because, we had this industrial state, we could train them for carpentry, welding, metalworks, etc., so that they would give them a proper certified diploma, which would then, when they went to, let's say, any part of Middle East, immediately they would start earning 20-30% more, because eventually that number would come back.
Absolutely.
to our economy.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, how I strongly feel that there needs to be far more emphasis on skills, all of that. So, with Karkhana, that's what you're trying to achieve. Are you using a digital platform for it? What is the story?
Right. So, you know, it's interesting because when I look at vocational education, it's actually kind of badly done, right? If you look at sort of self-driving cars, or, you know, you look at this whole sort of emerging fourth industrial revolution, bits and atoms, combined economy, this idea that there are some people who are intellectually sound and some people who are technically sound is thrown out the window, right? You don't want to have a vocational school that's different than getting people into college. Yeah, we still need lots of carpenters, we need lots of welders. But, you know, if you look at a factory floor in large parts of the world, people are combining some level of tech skill with some level of machinery skill.
Robotics.
Absolutely, right? And so, you know, one of my things, the reason I picked the name Karkhana, actually, and I have to shout out to my father. He's the one who picked it, right? If I don't do that, I'm going to hear about that at home. But I really wanted to bring up the value of working with your hands, you know? And a Karkhana is not a place that most people would think about sending their children. And so I actually...
Workshop.
It's dirty. It's a fort town, you know, it's like that. But what I really wanted to do was I wanted to change this idea and integrate working with your hands and thinking about things. So science can be extremely hands-on. You can build things, you can make things. And at the grade levels I'm working at, this is a foundation for both doing high-end robotics, but this is also a foundation for being a good student at a polytechnic, right? So, you know, what we really do is we have these kits, these very hands-on kits that teachers can use in the classroom with students. We have some digital work, but until before COVID, I didn't really feel like Nepal was very ready for a big digital play, right? But I think post-COVID, we might be much closer. Yeah, we've had just like a massive acceleration. So a lot of my focus has been on tangible, hands-on, making it, and doing a lot of digital fabrication. So, you know, using laser cutters, 3D printers, sort of preparing for that turn in manufacturing.
Reminds me of Phansuk Wangdo in Three Idiots. No, it's something that is really, really needed. So tell me, you know, you've gotten to this much needed initiative in Nepal, right? But at the same time, you're also parallelly teaching at some of the biggest universities as visiting faculty. How can you individually, with your initiative in Karkhana, try and bring the best practices to the educational institutions in Nepal?
Yes, so you know, I have taught a couple of classes for NYU in Shanghai and Abu Dhabi, and what I actually do is I teach a class called Making Education, where actually I'm taking a lot of the best practices that my team in Nepal is evolving, right, for doing low resource hands-on education and sharing it with students outside. So it's actually a bit of a flip, but at the same time, you know, I think you raise a really important question, and sometimes I feel frustrated because I think the dissemination of what we are doing and what we've learned hasn't been as rapid as I'd like it to be. You know, and I think partly it comes down to two things. Partly it comes down to parents needing to understand why this stuff is important. Because, you know, often we're stuck in valuing what was important in our time.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. And the second piece of it, I think, is that I lost my train of thought there. So the second piece of it, of course, is that we don't have very many structured ways to get this knowledge to teachers. So, you know, B.Ed. programs are unfortunately probably among the least selective programs in this country, when I think, you know, a B.Ed. should be as hard to get as a degree from IIT or MIT, right, if you really want good teachers. So I think there are these two challenges. But what we are doing is, you know, we have these kids, we think of them as training wheels, right? So even if we can't teach you how to ride the full bicycle, with our kits, with our material, at least you're getting a hang of how to go about doing more hands-on, more creative education.
So, you know, in Nepal today, please correct me if I'm wrong, there are about 30,000 public schools.
Yeah.
Now, the definition of public school is, even if there's a table and a chair under a tree, that is also considered a school, right? I've always had I've always been intrigued and inquisitive and impatient that we need to do something to reach out to those 30,000 public schools. How does Karkhana, what plans does Karkhana have to reach to the bottom end of the pyramid, the masses, the 3 to 8 class students at the mass level? Because to me, that's the future. If you don't come from ground up, you know, going to a couple of private schools here and there, training them is just maybe a drop in the ocean, right? So how is Karkhana looking at that aspect?
Well, the first thing to say is that innovation diffuses, right? You do have to start, you do start with the expensive Tesla and then get to a world full of electric vehicles, right? So I don't think that we should necessarily dismiss that initial private school market. They're very important. They help us innovate. At the same time, you're absolutely right that we do need to reach out to 30,000. So here, you know, I think the most obvious way to do this is through the state, right? I mean, they're the ones with the money, with the reach, by convincing them to do a mix of policy change, policy implementation. But, you know, we're not just waiting for that. We actually last year got a contract with the Kathmandu Metro City, the metropolitan city, where we are piloting 19 maker spaces in 19 public schools in the city. And, you know, a really big thing is that here is really, I think maybe something you know a lot more about than me. It's about scaling and reducing the cost of goods, right? And so that our material, whatever they cost now, they would cost half as much if we were really able to get them into a larger market. And I think that in itself is one way of reaching the bottom of the pyramid, is if something costs 5 rupees and you can get it down to 2, suddenly a lot more people, a lot more local governments are able to consume that, right? So I think that's one really important way to move forward.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Tell me, my last question to you is, and very important to me, is the youth of our country, right?
Yeah.
I think under the age of 21, 50% of our population,
sure,
right? In the next 5 years, forget 10, next 5 years, are you hopeful about the future of our country?
it's a difficult question. I am
entrepreneurial.
That's right. No, I am hopeful. I am also worried. I think both things are true. We do have this, you know, demographic dividend, they call it, right? We are about to hit that phase where we have a lot of working age people. At the same time, do we really have the capacity to absorb everything they do? I am hopeful that, you know, changes are coming, and it worries me a little bit that sometimes the narrative we're crafting is we should keep everyone here, you know, we shouldn't let anyone go. I think what you said earlier, which is that if we have more talented youth than our economy and our country can use, maybe we should be okay with the idea of how do we give them better lives as workers somewhere else. And
drain,
how do we,
drain, and then drain, drain.
That's right. And it's not even a drain, right? Because if you look at what is our largest export,
yeah,
you know,
it's manpower.
It is manpower, right? And so maybe, you know, if we as a society can accept that this isn't just a bad thing, that actually we need to invest in empowering our youth that are going outside, and that someday they will come back. I mean, where else would you go? You
same
come back home.
In China, same in India, worldwide, same problem.
Absolutely, right? And if they don't come back, they'll start businesses, they'll import things, they'll, you know, hopefully, you know, patent, like take the patents I have and use them there. I don't know, something like that, right? So, you know, I am hopeful, but I am also concerned.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much. You know, this has been absolutely amazing. I really, really good to know about what you're doing, you know, the gap that you see and the intervention that you're doing, which will definitely accelerate the future. I really want to wish you, your team, the entire idea of Karkhana, I hope it reaches the next level. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for talking to me.